And I'm Catherine Davis. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. And I am very excited about today's program. We are going to be having a conversation with Dr. Jewel Pookrum. And she is Chancellor of the Jewel University of Immortal Services, Sciences, excuse me, a former private physician to Nelson Mandela. For decades, Dr. Pookrum has been aiding and educating individuals to expand and heal their lives in areas of health, purpose, and consciousness. And if you've been seeking your purpose, fearful of taking that forward step, the principles that Dr. Pookrum teaches will provide you with the keys to unlocking the parts of you that have been dormant and will ensure alignment with universal order. I want to say hello and welcome, Dr. Pookrum. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you, radio listeners. I send my blessings and statements of light and enlightenment to you. This is so wonderful. I feel so much at home. My goodness, I'm at the Heart of the Mind radio. How wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. You're very, very welcome. And yes, this program is about consciousness, spirituality, and health. So it is a perfect match. And I'm really excited to be able to speak to you because I have been aware of your work and have seen videos in which you've made some presentations. But I don't know if everyone is absolutely familiar with who you are and what you've accomplished over the years. So I'd like to start with you sharing whatever you think would be pertinent for people to know about your work and maybe how you got to this place where you are right now.
Oh, wow. Okay, thank you. It's been a journey, a very wonderful journey, a journey that's brought me into a state of incredible knowledge and gratitude and appreciation for the very, very profound gift that we all have, and that is a life and a physical avatar to actualize and to manifest the mind of God, okay, the mind of the cosmic source, if that's a more comfortable term for you. And this is a wonderful thing, to be an unlimited creator for whatever we put our minds on, and most of all, that we can do it indefinitely. So I had the opportunity through an experience of self-resurrection where making a decision to live or die, to allow the illusion of a disease, which I was able to finally interpret correctly, was an initiation to live my life to the fullest, to be totally present, to be focused, and to be totally responsible for my thinking and the manifestations of such. And so from there, once I decided that my life was valuable, and that I did want to fully live it and to be an incredible donor to the evolution of my species, humanity, we stepped forward. And 9 months later, I was able to spontaneously heal a metastatic cancer. And the knowledge that I acquired in being able to do that moved me into a awareness that everything has consciousness. There's no such thing as something that, you know, is inert and that is without awareness. That's very incorrect. And what is the awareness that everything has? The order of the universe. And our science is now that most succinctly aligned with that awareness is quantum physics. It used to be known as quantum mechanics, but now, because of people like Rupert Sheldrake, et cetera, we now can really understand at a subatomic level this awareness that is in everything, the trees, the plants, the worms, humans, and for us especially, every cell in our body knows this awareness, these principles, these laws. And if we're able to align ourselves with ourselves and ourselves, C-E-L-L-S, and communicate on the same wavelength, using the same language, wholesomeness, spontaneous healing, and what I'm so excited about, longevity, literally moving into realms of immortality, is available to us. So that is how I moved into finally creating a university that would literally re-educate us in many areas of our life that we have very little information about as to how we are to proceed and exist as the most incredible species on this planet throughout the 21st century. We don't have the preparation for our beingness in the 21st century yet. We've been inundated with robotics and, you know, we're off into outer space and all these things are wonderful. They're an expression of our limited, unlimited creativity. However, what about us? What about us? And this is what definitely has been neglected. You know, I see our students here that are very intimidated in now going into the school system, et cetera. And this is so important because what? Knowledge. Knowledge is power. And if we're going to ever overcome fears, insecurities, inadequacies, it is the knowledge of self that will totally disperse and dissolve those illusions. And to be frightened to go into the institution that has been identified to share with us that information that will free us from these illusions is a very, very unhealthy state for our seed, our children to be in. You don't want that. But there are some things that definitely have to shift, realign, so that everyone knows that this is the place that we can finally leave behind us in the past the illusions of thinking that we can't communicate with another human being, sharing the same geometry. Doesn't matter about their culture. Doesn't matter about what language. The consciousness of their selves is the same as mine. Universal laws, universal principles are just that. They're cosmic. And so, therefore, it's just like the geometry that I talk about at our university, that I can draw the geometry of a chicken. And I don't care what country I'm in, et cetera, regardless of the language, they will know that I'm talking about a bird and a specific bird. And even though they may label it different, et cetera, they can show me, they can point it out to me, et cetera. And that is because we have a cosmic language that has been ignored. And this is the time now to realign, to become familiar with that. Why? Because we're part of a larger community. Yes, there are life forms on other planets and other star systems, et cetera, and they are also expressions of ourselves. As I understand it, we have some research now that talks about the fact that we have a lineage of 12 variations of the human species distributed throughout this sector of the galaxy. So if we're having problems even talking to our own selves, can you imagine that when this nexus occurs, where we all are able to reach out, to touch, to communicate with all of these other aspects of ourselves. How comfortable how uncomfortable will you be? And this is part of our overview that we offer at the university for people who are interested. On Tuesdays, we have an overview that expresses the colleges, what we're teaching to prepare us for a quantum awareness, for all the things that are available to us, and to give us a chance to look at ourselves and to go through the checklist. How comfortable are we with ourselves? How comfortable are we with our neighbors? How comfortable are we with other people in other countries? And most of all, how comfortable would we be with individuals from Saturn and Venus and also from Orion, et cetera? Because this is important for our checklist. It's no coincidence that we have a space station in outer space, that we now have a shuttle system that is delivering, quote, groceries, unquote, to them on a regular basis. We're not doing that for no reason. And so are we in a mindset now to recognize that we must have a planetary, a cosmic, a universal awareness, and where are we going to get the instruction? So just like Virgin Air, who said, okay, well, they got to get groceries up there, so they developed the shuttles to be able to do that. Well, I recognize in my own personal evolution that there had to be a structure in place that would begin to introduce humanity to themselves at a level that they are not familiar with, so that when they do meet themselves from the moon or from Mars or from Jupiter, no problem. Of course, there's going to be variation and differences. We have that right here amongst our one human species due to culture and environmental locations. But to think that a person in Iraq doesn't have a heart that functions like mine and has four chambers, et cetera, because they may appear differently, superficially, and they speak a different language would be totally absurd. No, because this species, this one species, we don't have races here. We have one species with variants. And this has been documented for years in our scientific literature. Even the Smithsonian Institute talks about this. They have a wonderful little video that re-educates people about the fact. There's no races. There's only one race, the human race. Our genome is exactly the same with what? Variation. The activation of some genes more than others, the dormancy of some genes more than others, but the information available, which is what our genetic library contains, information written in protein on a light basis language, is the same. So there's no variation that we at this moment in our capability of technological excellence can identify greater than 0.09%. So little, and still in all, we have our environment that's constantly flooding us with the idea of races, and you know, this is not true. But how can we actually elevate and make accurate the language in our commercials, the language that is being projected in the TV, written in our magazines, et cetera? And collectively, it can only come with each and every one of us educating ourselves, enlightening, that is, bringing information. The light carries information. And so allowing ourselves to extract from each wavelength of light, each color of light. Many people don't recognize that a color is a reflection of a selected wavelength of information. And so when we're interacting, even with a color, we're absorbing a particular quality and type of information. The rainbow spectrum is very important for us because each color represents a specific quality of knowledge that now we must embrace. So if that kind of like is a little circle that has brought me into how I wound up here with the Jewel University, and let's let me end on this, that yes, I'm honored that Jewel happens to be my first name, but it is something far, far greater. It represents a state of consciousness, and that is the acronym for justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. So this is a jewel that we all carry, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. Can we actualize that awareness? That's the key here.
Well, thank you so much for that. It's very inspiring for me because I do look out into the world and I see the challenge of sort of this propagandized race baiting and conflict. But also beyond that, I see people who are seeking consciousness, seeking to open up their awareness, but are not finding the direction for it. So if you look into certain movements, they'll talk about being conscious and being woke, but I don't have the sense that they really understand what you're talking about, and they're just looking at information as almost just being able to call its name, but not being able to integrate that information or even where to go to get that information. So I really believe what you're offering is of critical importance to all of us. I would like to go a little bit deeper into some of the things you're offering and that you speak of, because this is where people can begin to get a grasp that I don't believe we even have a conceptual knowledge of reality, much less who we are. So we're kind of...
Can I give you a little information on that statement you made? Because it is very accurate. A lot of people are only seeing the words and they're trying to grasp the definition of what they're emanating. But there definitely is a gap, Catherine, as you said. And what is the gap? Now, what I discovered, the gap was and is we're not using all of our brain. This was a biggie, and this is what allowed me to cross the threshold from moving into a disease, from being in a disease state, finally recognizing it was an initiation, and then completing the process. What happened? And I was able to give myself more brain tissue. It is no joke when they talk about the fact that we are not using all of our brain and nervous system. And so everyone is accepting that it's okay, we got 5% or 10% brain capabilities that we consciously occupy and direct. But now look at the example, the standard that's been set before us. And that standard is you have two main hemispheres that compose one brain, a right and a left hemisphere, as well as a cerebellum. Most people have no idea about what the cerebellum does. It's very interesting. But the right and the left hemisphere of the brain, yes. We are aware of that, but we're not occupying not even 50% of one hemisphere. So it was brought to my attention that this can easily be corrected. Really? Okay, was the response. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How we repair anything, how we basically reconstruct anything. What do we use? And this was so amazing to me. We use geometry for anything. You break a leg, it doesn't matter whether it's just a simple fracture, a comminuted fracture, we have to then do what? Realign it with its basic geometry. So we split it, we pin it, anything. We do heart surgery, or what do? We go into the arteries. We reconstruct them. We return the deficient, defective areas back to their original geometry. And this is what I was told. If you use the template that the brain is structured on, just look at it every day. The brain will restructure itself to its universal template, and then you can move forward in your brain. And I was like, I can't believe it, but okay, what does it take? Well, just 15 minutes a day. I was astounded. I was like, I can look at 2 hours of TV. So if I only look at 1 hour and 45 minutes of TV every day and do this program, have I really lost anything? And the answer is no. So this was my gamble, Catherine, and I did this little simple focus. And I tell you, I am a totally different person because, first of all, I'm alive, okay? Because I had a metastatic cancer. Transformed that and totally became a different person because I just had more brain tissue where I could see the bigger picture. I could see more of the pixels, which did what? Allowed me to recognize that I had more choices, more options as to how I could respond to an event in my environment if I needed to respond. Because I noticed there were so many things that were happening, but I didn't even need to respond. And that was amazing because most people live their life responding, reacting, responding to all the changes in their life. When you have enough brain tissue and it is focused, I learned how to focus, that I could see all these changes occurring around me and recognize that they were changes. Yes, things were occurring. Yes, but I could choose which one, if any, I could respond to or chose to respond to or do what? Return to my focus. And that immediately brought so much calm to my tissue, calm in my mind. All these scattered thoughts, all this thing basically went to just about zero. And so moving forward in our brain, because we have a lot of information, some scientists are saying, oh, well, of course, you know, you're using all the brain. Well, okay, let's look at the definition of use. Is blood flowing to the area? Well, of course. Okay. Are nutrients being absorbed? Of course. But the consciousness of the individual, are they able to consciously sit in the parietal lobe? Are they able to consciously sit in the prefrontal cortex and turn on those software programs to process those thoughts that are specific for that area of the brain? And the answer is no. Most people don't even know the basic seven segments of the brain. And so without knowing that and without knowing the parameters of the quality that are available to you, just by you knowing your anatomy of the brain and knowing the difference between what the right hemisphere contributes as well as the left, moves you into a whole different quality of beingness and performance with the physical body. So here at our university, this is a criteria. You cannot move forward into the university until you have access to both hemispheres of the brain. And I have not met anyone who has done this little 15-minute focus correctly every day that cannot testify to how different they are, how smarter they are, how much more comfortable they are, and are able to basically move into their life with a greater certitude and a greater sense of capability and accomplishment. So I was used to, I was like, how could something so simple be kept away from humanity? And so as I began to do the research, I'm a researcher at heart, and I love this. We have magazines, scientific journals. One of the main ones, Cell, for example. Structure. We have a whole group of scientists that do nothing but work with what? Structure, geometry. This is why the drugs work in our body. It's not the actual mass, but it's the energy fields of force that make geometric relationships that change function in our tissue. Everything is based on geometry. If we don't comprehend the geometry, we call it something. We can't even give it a name. It has to have a geometric structure that we can identify. And so this is the foundation of which I'm really excited about, that if humanity would step inward, the heart of themselves, the heart of their mind, and begin to learn themselves, your anatomy, your physiology, how does a cell function? Just like a factory. Most of us have no idea that when you go into a factory that's running well, it's actually laid out like the interior design of a single cell. We are always externalizing ourselves. This is why it's so important to remain healthy so that you don't externalize aberration. You don't externalize dis-ease and deformity. But these correlations have not been given to us, but it's mandatory now in the 21st century, especially now since we are spacebound, that we are going into other dimensions, other venues, and we definitely do not want to take pathology if we don't have to, but it requires us to basically step inward. And this is what is missing, and this is how I was able to make the transformation. I gave myself more brain tissue. So for those people who are religious, I think in the Bible, they make a statement that you can't put new wine in an old wine sack. So physically, we can understand why. Quantum physically, we can understand why. Well, it's the same thing with the brain. Once we activate and bring online and integrate all of the brain tissue, we need new information. And we don't go back to the past. Only the wisdom from the past. What did we learn that we know is of a universal standard and quality? Okay, and that goes with, and then we go for the great adventure of further discovering the self. And this is why the 21st century is so great. So this is going to be a little example to let you see how we are not understanding the importance of ourselves. I had the opportunity to meet an individual yesterday, and they're in the health profession. And they were sharing with me that they basically work with robots. And I was like, oh, interesting. And the healthcare professional, what do you do? Well, the robot does the surgery. And the doctors literally do the surgery in a cubicle where it is hardwired to the fingers of the robot. But it's the fingers of the robot that actually do the surgery on the human. And this was designed because with repetition, the precision of the robotic fingers consistently increases with repetition so that the robot can become so refined in every stroke, every movement that would surpass human. And so therefore, if any of you saw the movie Prometheus, they had a surgical robot there. I think the name of the robot was Sirius. And the crew member was able to lay on the table and let the robot do the surgical procedure that she had programmed it for. Well, I recognize now that this is how we're spending our time. We are training metal and rubber and copper wires to take on qualities that we ourselves have not been willing to master. And that is a problem, because when we give the best of ourselves, and we don't even know we're giving the best of ourselves to something that does not have a conscious connection to understanding how to deliberate and execute these capabilities, we get into problems. And so I say that this is the time now for us to definitely go within, learn ourselves, and then we can decide if we want to give our qualities to an emanation of ourselves, such as a robot, and if so, to what extent?
Yeah. I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and my guest is Dr. Jewel Pookrum. And for those of you who want to find out more about her work, you can go to her website, juis.education, and you'll see all the different information and classes that she offers. And I just wanted to go over them as I see them on the website. Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program: Learn how to use sacred geometry to synchronize the logical left and creative right side of the brain, allowing them to work together with what we term full brain functionality. Also, another course I see here is Hollow Mind Perceiver. Learn how to activate the hypersense organ located in the corpus callosum that facilitates the integration of time, space, and mind as the principle of radicalized synchronization that activates the totality of our perceptual being. And also I see here Law of Time. Learn about the relation between time and human consciousness, time and spirituality, time and the next stage of our evolution in this universe. And those are three things that you will be able to check out when you go to the website, juis.education. Jewel, University of Immortal Sciences, is what this website is about. But I also want to let you know that Dr. Pookrum will be in the New York area on Saturday, March 24th, and she's doing a brunch lecture from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it's the VIP Universal principal experience with Dr. Jewel Pookrum. And the event is in Mount Vernon, but you can register that by going to the website. Eventbrite, I think it is, that you'll be able to go and register for that. And if you, after the show, check on our archive page, Heart of Mind Radio, on the PRN.FM site, I will have the link directly to that event there, and you can click right on it, and you can find out more and register for this event. And we'll repeat that contact information again, as well as any other contact information Dr. Pookrum has to offer. But I just wanted to put that out there for those of you who may or may not be able to continue with the program. And also remember, you could always come back and listen on the archive at PRN.FM, the Progressive Radio Network. So with that said, Dr. Pookrum, I would love for you to... This was such a rich conversation, and I have a lot of questions, but because we don't have hours of time, I would like for you to focus in on what you think is important to share with people. I'm really interested in understanding the hollow mind perceiver and the law of time. I think you kind of talked about the balancing of the left and right hemispheres of the brain.
Correct. Okay, well, those are the big three that I recognize that if every human would rectify and align themselves with these qualities within themselves, we would definitely be ready for the 21st century. Everything else would just be downhill and so simple. One of the factors that we have been dealing with as scientists, as healthcare providers, is this perception of time. What is time? Oh my goodness, most people think that it is a machine, a chronometer, regardless of what size it is, whether it's on your wrist, your finger, your neck, or on the wall, or in your pocket, that regulates time. It is not. These chronometers are literally a mechanized gear and wheel phenomena that just perpetually click off as they are set. But time for us as a biological entity on this planet is regulated by light exposure. This is so important, Catherine, so important. So daylight, night light regulates our hormonal system, our blood quality, blood flow, endocrine system, everything. And it's because we have strayed away from the proper exposure of light relative to our purpose, we have created so many diseases for ourselves. And just a couple of examples, seasonal affective disorder, just by definition, means that the individual is having an intense reaction to the amount of light they are exposed to based on the change of the season. We have disorders with sleep disorders, because we have individuals who in the night light are not able to calm down the brain, the amount of serotonin produced, so that melatonin intake can occur and what regeneration of the tissue can occur in the night light. We now know quantum physically that we're always in light. There's no such thing as darkness. So what a person perceives as no light is only because the photons, as they're moving through space, are not hitting or stimulating the iris, the retina of the optic nerve, which is what we call the eyeball. If there's no stimulation of photon particles hitting the retina, which is a whole plexus of nerves, then the brain doesn't recognize any excitation or stimulation of wave frequency, and so therefore the brain registers nothing. But we are always in light, and night light is so important. It has far more information for tissue regeneration, tissue stabilization than daylight. And we cut our time short by the inappropriate use of light bulbs at the bedside, TVs at the bedside, all of these things. So the amount of night light, which has much more information, is diminished. And this is a problem. So therefore, you have to be taught, what is time? What is time? It is a rhythm and an exposure to light set upon a moving object, which is planet Earth. Continuous movement, the moon, our sun. And so therefore, as you have these bodies of mass that are moving in space relative to a sun, yes, it is also moving, but at a different rate, we are exposed to daylight, night light, which then regulates the activities of the tissues to keep them in alignment with what? A perpetual rhythm. This is why the trees live 500, 600 years. A bristlecone pine tree, 5,000-year lifespan, a pine tree. And humans, I was looking at statistics today to share with you, on the average, for example, in continental Africa, average lifespan here at 22,000 was only 50 years of age. But this confusion around regulating a biological system by a mechanical machine is the disparaging factor. And so once a person really knows how to be able to synchronize themselves with the planet, as well as our moon orbits, the woman's menstrual cycle is regulated by the orbit of the moon. And so many women get confused with this because they're trying to align their menstrual cycle with a mechanical machine and an erroneous calendar known as the Julian calendar. It doesn't work that way. So this is a whole training that we offer to synchronize again the endocrine system again to its biological cycles, the circadian rhythms, etc., that regulate functionality of the tissue. The mind. How many people are not clear about what the mind is relative to the brain? Where does the brain and the mind articulate and fit into the perception of being human? This is still a big quandary in most people's minds. The mind is not physical. It is not something that sits in the head. The mind is everywhere. It is all around you. And your thoughts are literally vectors of information that is generated from your particular radiance of energy. And this is a whole big science that people have to basically learn. The brain, however, is the main processor that gives a energy vector physicality. And so the brain makes something known as neuropeptides, neurotransmitters that now physicalize a wavelength of information that we call a thought. And so therefore, what a person thinks is then translated into physical substance by the brain. That is released into the bloodstream so that every tissue knows what you thought. Now, that's a profound cascade, but that's how it works. So if you could imagine that in consciousness, only 10% of your brain is processing what you thought, okay? Then you can imagine then how the body then is executing all kind of behavior patterns, and you're saying it's a mistake. I didn't mean to do that. Well, how could this be? Well, why did my body do that? Because you and consciousness are not occupying the 80 trillion cells and regulating them. And this is why we are having the problems that we're having, because we are not whole-brained. Seeing the world and what we want to create in it from a whole brain perspective. So, of course, there are going to be areas that are missing in our creativity because we didn't have the brain tissue activated to observe that particular aspect of our entire thought and then our action. So we are very, very finite and very divine beings, and there's no robot that we create that could ever be greater than ourselves unless we give it the information and the environment to attempt to be that. And we don't give ourselves that environment. This is the issue. So we can be repetitive to train a robot, okay, for years. But are we repetitive to train our whole brain for years before we then create a robot? Because I guarantee you that a lot of the things that we're teaching robots to do with a fully developed brain, we won't need a robot. Because really a lot of things that robots do, we won't even need anymore. But you can't see that aspect of yourself until you can stand in what we call a whole brain, holistic perspective. So the mind, the HMP, the whole mind perceiver, allows us to be able to access and process not only our own thoughts, but also any information stored in an energy wave frequency in the library of this planet, which we call the side bank or the new sphere. And the new sphere has the capability of being accessed by this biochip that sits in the middle of the brain. It's a protein biochip. We all have one. And that is known as the whole mind perceiver. And based on any questions that we want to know or answer, once we can center our thinking, the whole mind perceiver of the 441 literally radiates that out into the new sphere, the side bank, and then the transmission of the information is then received and sent back to the HMP, and voila, you get the answer. So when we talk about the light bulb going on, this is literally just a download that has come from the information in our side bank, because there's nothing that has ever happened on this planet in our solar system that is not recorded. So this whole idea of keeping records, whether it's in a microfiche or digitalized in a cloud or keeping it in a journal, is part of how the order of the universe works. That's why understanding universal principles, which are the foundation of awareness of everything, whether it's your pencil, whether it's a brain cell, knowing what these principles are is strategic, because that way you will always be in synchronization, aware, in full awareness of what is going on around you. So the right brain plays a major role in an individual being able to acquire this type of information. So because people aren't taught about the genuine anatomy and physiology of the cells, not only from an atomic level, a molecular level, but also from a subatomic level, we have some very vague descriptions of these phenomena that are genuine standards for the functionality of a human avatar. So, you know, I had a hunch, you know, I got this kind of perception, you know, my intuition. And still to this day, people don't understand that intuition is true knowingness. It's not guessing. Intuition is true knowingness. But out in the general public, they think that's kind of a hunch. And no, we don't want to use that. You know, we'll use some facts from the past or what somebody else said before we'll use our own intuitiveness. And that is what the right brain is all about. It's giving us the scan of and the readout of what's really going on energetically in a particular event. And we dismiss it all the time. And then we have to retort and apologize for our behavior. You know, yeah, because we don't know it's a normal part of the brain. Right. And we dismiss it. Yeah.
One of the things that, I'm sorry.
The main things that we teach at the university. And these are required before you can progress into our 13 colleges. Okay. The 13 colleges are awesome, the things that are being offered. But right now we're in a preparatory phase because we have to get humanity prepared to learn these exquisite, incredible sciences. So that's why we talk about these three main colleges of neuroscience, the College of Time and Quantum Time Mechanics. And the Whole Mind Perceiver is part of it, of course, courses in the College of Time and Quantum Time Mechanics. So we have a whole college on botany, regeneration medicine, and we're so excited because we're just getting ready to open our spring semester in our College of Regeneration Medicine and Health Services. What are those first courses that we're offering? Human anatomy, general human anatomy, and human anatomy and physiology. We're not going to go far if we do not understand the anatomy. What is going on under the skin? How does the organs function? What about my kidneys? Well, how does that affect my liver? Well, what does the spleen really do? And the lungs are doing what? What does the heart do relative to? Sure. And it's important that we get it now, because you can't don a spaceship going to Mars and then you are totally ignorant of the exquisite architecture and functionality that you're taking with you. You will have some very outrageous experiences because you don't know thyself. So anatomy is not taught still on a general basis. This is next to reading. You must know your anatomy, the physiology. And we have so many problems now in dealing with single-cell organisms. We refer to them as bugs and bacteria, and we give them the power to make us think that they can make us sick. No, no, no. So therefore, we have our next level of courses, general immune health and hygiene. General immune health and hygiene. You have to learn how to take care of the human avatar. And how do we do that? How does the immune system function? And with proper hygiene, the immune system of a human being who is healthy is incredible. You never know illness. There's no single cell, multi-cell organism that can ever bring you out of a physiological balanced functionality when you understand how to properly give hygiene for healthy immune functionality. Can't be. And then now we have to deal with your thoughts. So our second course, psychoneuroimmunology. So our psychoneuroimmunologist, Dr. Heather Pearman, incredible. And she's been taught under a very incredible being, Dr. Feinberg. Boy, his first name is not coming here. And we now know how to identify and work the pathways in the circuits of the brain that constantly are being processed by the brain based on ill perceptions of past experiences. So these emotions, what processes my emotional body? Does the brain process my emotions? Of course it does. Well, what about my thoughts? Well, we know that's what the brain does. It processes the thoughts. But now how are we able to change what the brain is processing? And we can do that very easily when we can have the individual understand how they're thinking about their emotional body. They're thinking about their past, especially when they've been terrified, especially when they have become very angry. You don't want to run those thoughts continuously through your brain. And many people will say, I can't stop thinking about it. I know it happened 20 years ago, but to me it happened yesterday. They don't know how to basically control the brain. Well, psychoneuroimmunology teaches the individual how to handle thoughts of this nature and how to be able to remove them from the daily processes of what the neurons of the brain do. They make a thought physical, chemically physical. It's released into the bloodstream. That's why a person walks around 20 years angry, because what vexed and angered them 20 years ago, they've never been able to remove from the library of thoughts that the brain processes every day. So the psychoneuroimmunology course that we're teaching lays down the foundation for you to understand how that works. So Tony Robbins, for example, you know, with his NLP, took it to a whole nother level, very accurate. However, without clear understanding of the mind and the brain and how the environment affects the immune system, people still don't get it, even to this day. So we put that in a didactic environment where individuals can learn the basis and then evolve on that standard information to do what? To know thyself. So this is what is needed now in the 21st century, to know thyself and then watch the quality and the type of decisions we can make once we know who we are from the inside out, the heart and the mind, okay?
Excellent. It's very, very inspiring. And it's also quite encouraging that you have this knowledge to share. And I think that people can see really the depth of your knowledge. But you start from actually being a doctor and then moving through these other forms of knowledge that some people call esoteric. But to me, the way you're speaking of it, it's not so much esoteric, it's really very much just an expansion of activation of who we are naturally that you're speaking of. So you're talking about something that's very, very practical, very real, very down to earth. And you leave me thinking that once we've activated all these principles, we don't actually need spaceships to get to Mars. We can
You're not supposed to say that until 10 years later. That's the secret. You're not supposed to discover that yet until about 10 or 15 years later.
but, you know,
so you're
very
smart. You're on it. But that's true. And we have individuals who are our future selves, okay, who have come to us and they visit us. And what do they come in? They use a neuron, one brain cell, becomes the spaceship. But you got to do a lot of little baby steps and studying to understand how incredibly you are made before you can command that type of execution of your tissue. But it's coming. And in that,
I believe a lot of what we see and encounter is that phenomenon.
Yes, yes. And so therefore, you know, you're already out there. Good for you. So you'd enjoy the school. Yes, we love it. You know, and I just feel
honored. I feel confident that this is right on a par with where I focus a lot of my own work and research. And you know, I also work with energy. I'm a Qigong teacher, energy healer. And I think that that's also a big piece of what you're talking about that people can get into. But as it turns out, we're just about out of time for our interview. And I wanted to remind people that you will be in the New York area Saturday, March 24th. You're doing an event called the VIP Universal Principle Experience with Dr. Jewel Pulchram. Again, Saturday, 24th, from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. It is the doors open at 10. It's a brunch. It includes beverages and some light food. And you will have to reserve ahead of time because tickets will not be sold at the door. And I'm going to read out to you the link. It's http://bit.ly/20s4xne. So if that sounds too complicated, you can go to the prn.fm website after the broadcast of the show. Maybe Monday it will all be up there and you can link it. Or you can sign up on Dr. Pukram's website, juis.education. And as well, people can email you or call. Is that also true, Dr. Pukram? Do you want to give out that information?
Yes. They can email us at scheduling, S-C-H-E-D-U-L-I-N-G, at juis.education. Education, and education is spelled out education. So that's scheduling at juis.education. And as you know, JUIS is the abbreviation for the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences, right?
Okay. That's wonderful. And your event that's coming on Saturday, March 24th, it is in Mount Vernon, New York, and that's actually just on top of the Bronx, so it's very accessible either by train, bus, or railroad for people who want to do that. Can you very, very briefly tell people what that experience will be like for them?
Oh my goodness. You know, I am so excited to just really kind of take an armchair seat with everybody else and just really share with them how important understanding the order of the universe is, the universal principles as we call them, and how to practice thinking in that way. Okay, it's the thinking in that way that links us and aligns us with being able to do anything. So it's so it's kind of interesting. We had some magicians, David. I see him so clearly. His last name doesn't come. Copperfield, I think. How do these magicians basically do this? They want to talk about sleight of hands or whatever, but no. It's the capacity to synchronize our consciousness with any object. And once that is done, then whatever you project in your thinking on the object mirrors it. So if you say, you know, you're one with the spoon because of cosmic alignment, and you bend, the spoon is going to bend in consciousness. So these are things that now we recognize that by the cultivation of the mind, with the unification of the right and the left hemisphere of the brain, and then understanding how everything around us thinks, all we have to do is synchronize our thinking and then project our request. And it,
all right,
it will
so
be
we're yeah. out of time. Thank you so much,
okay.
Dr.
Thank
Julie.
You. Thank you.
And I hope we'll speak again. And
yes,
I invite everybody to check out the information. You can also email me, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, if you missed anything, and I can send you the details. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.